Blog Talk Radio.
It's the V-Spot. I'm your host, Dr. Vic Tater. My co-host is Bill Foster. V-Spot Radio is brought to you by Planet Vic Tater Blog Network. Get everything you need and a few things you truly do not want. Only at Planet Vic Tater. Okay, we're on the air. Who's on the other line?
This would be the esteemed Mexican Harpo Garza.
Okay, now you're probably wondering why I was late, but in my defense, I was looking for footage of an Arab man stabbing someone in the head.
I can't think of any finer reason to be late than that.
Okay, so anyway, we're going to be talking about Dallas. I don't know if Eric's going to be able to make it or not, and Neil ought to be in any minute, and I'm going to tan his fanny.
Alrighty.
Okay, there he is. Okay, now, the last time we talked was about, as far as the show went, I think we talked about, was it a month ago?
Yeah, I can't remember.
Yeah, we had it seemed like New Dallas was never going to end. Now, the thing I want to point out is that at the end, it was incest.
Always.
I told you, if I'm right, I tell you, I knew I'd be right after the 50th time.
Why nut, squirrel, broken clock, all that.
Okay. All right, Mike, what did you make of the end of the big reveal at the end? And this is a big spoiler. It turned out Cliff Barnes basically pimped out his daughter to fuck his nephew.
Well, you know, I like to think I've reached a point in my life where shit just doesn't surprise me anymore, but damn it all, if it doesn't continue to prove me wrong. My jaw hit the floor, and then my first thought was, oh shit, and my second thought was, well, I guess they're not blood relatives.
Well, you know, it's not so much weird on her part, it's more weird on the part of the man that probably changed this kid's diapers at one point.
Yeah, that's the part I don't get. It's like Cliff clearly loved his sister, and that's Christopher's basically all he has left of his sister. And, yeah, well, you know what? Whatever. He's going to, you know, be Uncle Grandpa.
Yeah, it's a very strange thing, you know. And the funny thing was, I thought JR was just going on an old senile vendetta, but it turned out Cliff was up something.
That's the shitty part, too. It's like, not only that, but you know JR is also going to be the one that uncovers this.
And I mean, you can just tell he's going to have it. It's like, it's going to be one of these things, Joe. It's going to be a shitty grin.
And he's going to keep it to himself.
You know, speaking of JR being focused, we haven't had a chance to mention this on the show. You know in the season, in season 10, when the Justice Department shut down Ewing Oil?
Yeah.
Okay, you know when they were trying to do a sting operation to get JR to bribe an official so they could get him on that?
Yeah.
And JR never did it, and you know what it was like? You remember that episode of Beavis and Butthead when that woman was trying to get them to solicit prostitution?
They just kept saying, you want to, you know, do it, but he would never come right out and say it.
Right, and then at the end of it, the woman was like, damn it, just ask to pay me for sex! And they said, it's entrapment now. And I kind of thought at the end of that episode that JR was going to leave the room and he's going to say, I almost bribed a government official. Now, there was a lot of things going on in these final episodes now. Near the end, Elena has entered my shit list. When she sent her mother to the Ewing Tower to talk to Christopher, I was thinking that was like the ultimate punk move.
Yeah, you know, on the one hand, you know, John Ross is kind of a little bastard, so I can kind of see why she would do that. But on the other hand, you know what? You know, you got yourself kind of into this thing. You know, you backed the wrong horse. So, you know, come out and break up with him like a man or like an adult.
Yeah, it's one of those things. I mean, I was trying to think of a situation where that'd be okay, like if he was beating the shit out of her. But even then, you wouldn't send your elderly mother.
Yeah, because what's he going to do to her?
Yeah, so, I mean, it's one of those things I can't quite find a justification, but, I mean, that was a good string of episodes. The thing with Cliff does worry me because it kind of had a, and you kind of mentioned this, you know, you were kind of, saw this coming weeks ago when you mentioned it was kind of a Vince Russo-ish thing. You know, that's kind of the worry. Yeah, it's kind of the worry that they did this just so they could have a big, because they knew they had to have a big shocker at the end.
Well, and we all knew it was coming. We knew there was going to be something of this magnitude, but I don't think we were able to quite noodle that. I mean, I wasn't. I don't know about you guys, but I definitely didn't see incest, more incest coming. I kind of thought maybe they'd learn their lesson.
Yeah, no, I didn't see it coming. The thing is, I don't think the producer, and she might have, but I'm not sure if she's quite pondered the ideal of this. You know, what it implies. And again, it's not implicational Christopher or the girl. You know, it all comes down to Cliff.
Yeah, it's more of a, well, you know, we kind of played the Cliff card a little slow this season until that last episode, and then it was like, oh, nope, he's still a shithead.
And the thing is with Cliff, yo, I'm going to try to give them have some faith in them because, again, they put it together a good season mostly.
Yeah, the best thing was, like, while I was watching that episode, like, my Twitter went off on my phone. I looked at it, and Ken Kirchival was, like, tweeting about the Olympics or something. And I was like, God, that man's a great actor. If he could play such a shithead and then just tweet about, you know, little things like the Olympics where he tweets about his grandkids. The clear dichotomy of Ken Kirchival.
Did you know he's a porn magnate?
Really?
Yeah, there was this article I was reading in Old People where he bought a struggling popcorn company in, like, 1987. Yeah, he was doing an interview about he was talking about the way that they do it. He said, like, if you pick the corn with a machine, the kernels won't pop true.
Wow, he's like a modern-day Orville Redenbacher.
You know what, I mean, this is off-subject, you know, but one of my favorite things about Orville Redenbacher was on the episode of King of the Hill, Boomhauer is going on a tangent about commercials. He said, dang old man, you can't trust all that you see on TV. Dang old man, that wasn't Orville Redenbacher's son.
I just remember being like a little kid that got beat up at school and seeing Orville Redenbacher commercials and just going, you know, for us nerds, it does get better.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, I was mentioned in that one episode of Simpsons among notable nerds.
Yep.
Buddy Holly, popcorn magnate.
And Chief Justice Richard Souter.
Not Souter. Oh, not Souter.
Now, you know, again, I haven't seen the episode since they aired last time because I haven't really looked at it. I don't know how often TNT reruns this stuff.
Yeah, I don't know.
So,
I haven't seen any of the repeats yet.
Okay, now here's another thing. And again, I'm not going to try to – I'm really trying not to – I don't want to pick anything apart, you know, because I'm not one of those guys, you know. I'm not going to be like a Truman Capote just sitting around waiting to pick apart my dinner. You know, but just looking at the episode, again, I'm trying to figure out how the Tommy would fit into this.
Yeah, it's like, did they just find some random dude and say, hey, I'm going to pretend to be your sister. We're going to work this con, and you're going to end up with X amount of dollars. You would think would do a due diligence on that.
Well, just going back further about it, you know, it's implied, you know, because the ideal, I'm assuming that Rebecca would have grew up through Maine, you know, of good means, that she would have never ran into anybody like that or ran cons.
Yeah, and that's the other thing. Who the hell is Rebecca's mom?
Afton. She was born around the ninth season, and she decided, apparently she left town pregnant. This was, you know, I was watching these Dallas episodes, and I'm thinking, you know, and she keeps trying to hire from Cliff, and I keep thinking, you know, why doesn't Cliff just hire a lawyer? You know, you could force a paternity test.
It's funny because it's like by the end of the original run, Cliff was just like just such a hollow husk of a human being. Like, JR had literally taken his life out of him. He had all the money in the world, and it still didn't matter.
Yeah, he didn't give a shit. It's like, hey, want money? Here, I got plenty of it. I don't give a shit. I mean,
yeah,
the funny thing was...
That's how you know JR won. That's how you know JR won.
Like, he took Ewing Oil from him, he took everything, and in the end, you know, JR still won. It's one of those things, like I heard on a TV show one time, and it's like, you know, your victory lasted moments, his victory will last a lifetime.
Exactly.
And
JR's victory was soul-crushing.
I'm trying to figure out, does Cliff remember he was a Democrat?
Seriously, it's like he's, like, turned into, like, super, like, just like your total typical, like, evil, right-wing, like, nut job.
Oh, I'm rich now, so I don't have to be a Democrat anymore. you know, I like to think in the finale, though, it was one of these things that Cliff became president. I like to think Cliff was the best president we ever had.
I could just see Cliff, like, on a, just showing up on Leno and sitting in with the band, playing some electric guitar.
I mean, everything's great. No 9/11 happened because of the policies President Barnes put in place.
You know, basically, Cliff as president would have been Clinton.
Yeah, you know, basically, JR destroyed the world.
Yeah. Oh, I guess in JR's timeline, there's no NAFTA, at least.
Then again, I think Jason Ewing probably ended up setting off a nuclear device, so it probably evens things out.
Yeah, somewhere along the line, Jack Bauer would have showed up. I don't know.
You know, just looking at that, I mean, I like to think the finale of Dallas was a pilot for Dallas What If.
So when they were originally casting for this last season, and you heard that Kiefer Sutherland was offered a role, what role do you think he was offered?
I don't know. I can't think of who he would have played.
I'm thinking he was either... Bobby's lawyer, or maybe possibly he could have been Rebecca's brother.
Yeah, you know, JR, you know, the thing about Bobby was in these last few episodes, Bobby's another person looks like his will to live has just been gnawed away.
Yeah, well, a lifetime of dealing with JR would do that to you.
No, I like how he kept the records just trying to keep JR in check. Because, like, JR's very confident Bobby would not put him in prison.
Yeah, and he actually figured that into his strategy. That was amazing.
You know, one thing that bothered me, though, is that we never saw those inmates get their comeuppance, because, you know, Jock would have had those guys killed within a week.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and that's the other thing. It's like, I remember the Brian Dennehy episode. You know Jock had Brian Dennehy and his brother-in-law killed. There's no way.
Yeah, there's no way that didn't happen. I mean, I don't think they met it out of break. Now, I think the only thing I can imagine is Jock would have made sure he was the one that did the deed.
Yeah. He would have had some of his boys round him up and take him out to, like, a dark barn somewhere, and Jock would have put a bullet in each of their heads.
And, you know, again, that's one episode I never, like, that's 1 hour of television I never want to relive.
It's just awkward. The whole episode is just so awkward.
Your review of it was hilarious. I remember at one point you said Miss Ellie came in, you said another vagina has entered the equation, and I just burst out laughing.
You know, rape is not a funny subject unless it's rape on Dallas, in which case it's hilarious.
Well, it's one of these things, rape is not funny, but it's one of these things that the way soap operas do it, it eventually becomes funny through sheer volume. Like, Jenny Garth was probably raped, like, 50 times on 90210, and again, you don't ever want to blame the victim, but at some point it's like the Charles Bronson and the Death Wish movies. You know, by Death Wish 5, maybe it's you.
It can't always be everybody else.
Yeah, it's like at some point you have to start questioning yourself. Why are these things happening?
It's kind of a joke that he's surprised that, you know, after about the 30th time that she's still able to walk normally and still trust people.
That's one of these things, you know, at some point you got to wonder at some point after 30th time they're not just dusting it off.
You know, after a while it could just be kind of like a adopted form of Stockholm Syndrome.
Yeah, which, I mean, again, it's one of the...
Have you ever seen Monty Python and the Meaning of Life?
Years ago.
You know the joke where they kind of make fun about the Catholics, but they're giant families?
Refresh me.
Well, there was one point where they're basically joking about the Catholic family. It's where they do the Every Sperm is Sacred song, but they make a joke about the mother. How especially she just has another kid and doesn't realize it. She's just cooking for the family. One just pops out and she just says, "Oh, would you get that for me?"
See, I told you I was pregnant. Well, you know, and again, to find a similar subject to this, one of the funniest things you'll ever see in a book or TV or something is the passage of time and someone has an eye patch. And again, losing your eye is a grotesque injury. I mean, it's horrific. But again, you see that eye patch, your instinct is laugh.
It's true.
I don't know why that is. I think it's because of the idea that you kind of suspect that it's very hackneyed writing. I think probably
It's more of an easy thing to add on to someone. But if you lose a limb, you got to do a lot of fancy, you know, things to hide the actual arm and everything.
I think the only time it didn't get that reaction from me was on the last season of Buffy, because they showed the guy get his eye gouged out with someone's thumb.
Like Neil said, from a prop standpoint, that's the easiest one to pull off.
Yeah, because you don't have to hide the arm or anything. Going back to this, the final season, the last season, I'm calling it Dallas Visitor Season 15.
And I believe that's how it should be referred to.
Yeah, but at this point, I'm really hoping next season that John Ross goes scorched earth.
He's going to hit that point where he realizes he truly has nothing, and then whatever little tiny piece of his soul still exists will just disappear, and then we'll have mini JR.
No. Magic powers. Wedding after wedding after wedding. And did someone say long last triplets?
Did someone say JR secret power armor? And it's JR in armor fighting Cliff Barnes in armor.
I just hope the show goes on for 5 or 6 more seasons. And by the end of it, it's just JR and Cliff sitting on a porch in Lark's, just unable to speak because they both had multiple strokes. And just giving each other the stink eye and drooling on themselves.
Oh, no, I just picture, like, they're like this. If they're in a nursing home, and, like, Jet Cliff's feebly trying to pick up a knife.
I could see JR somehow selling the land rights to the nursing home.
No, I'm envisioning it. Like, do you remember that Wonder Brothers cartoon where, like, Sylvester, Tweety, and the dog were in the hospital?
Yeah.
Yeah, like... Like, Bobby's falling asleep because he's having the pills, and JR, you just see JR sitting in the bed beside him. He wakes up his eyes again, he's getting up. The next time he opens up his eyes, he's right next to his bed, holding a bat.
I didn't like Pam too much by the time she left, but I hope if she comes back now and she finds out what Cliff did, she doesn't talk to him, she just beats the shit out of him, like hits him with Stone Cold Stunner, power bombs him through a table, drowns him in the pool.
I just hope they just do like a blow-by-blow remake of the fight scene from They Live.
Or maybe like that final fight from Commando.
Yeah.
I've never actually seen Commando.
He just throws a pipe through his chest.
Yeah.
Yeah, just, you know, goes completely berserk. Did you read that interview with producer?
Was it the one where they asked if Pam was alive or dead in this timeline?
Yeah, they were asking her. She said she didn't know. She said she didn't want to seal it up one way or another because she figured if she tried to solve it one way or another, she was going to upset people. So she'd rather Pam just be alive in their minds.
Yeah. Yeah, that way, if she feels the need to use her later on, she's got that card at her disposal.
Well, the good thing about doing a new is they have a lot of rainy day things to do.
Oh, yeah, I mean, you think about it, they've done literally nothing with Gary. They haven't, like, just alluded to him. They've done nothing with Lucy. They've done nothing with Ray Krebs. Not that I'm, after looking at him, I don't know what he would be capable of doing, but you never know.
I figure Ray can probably, I don't know, I figure Ray's probably at that age where he's not too fast, but if he can actually get his hands on you.
He can probably, yeah, he's still probably got that one hit knockout power, but it's just, you know, closing the distance.
Well, you know, I remember when I was a kid one time, and I'm going off the tangent, you know, people pick on you when you're heavier, you know, and the thing about it is, if I got my hands on somebody, I'd hurt them. My dad saw me doing this, and he said, boy, come here. He said, you're doing this wrong. I said, what? He said, act like you're friends again. And then once they let their guard down, punch them as hard as you can, and then you can do what you want.
That is the best advice I've ever heard a father give a son.
Yeah, and I did this, and I'll tell you something. The first kid I did that to, nobody messed with me again because they knew that I was a psycho and I would do it at any time.
This man has no allegiance.
Yeah, or I swear to God, I remember this. When my dad told me how to swing a baseball bat, aim for the knees, boy, then you can really go to town.
Then it's time to kick some back.
Yeah. So I assume if you're old, Ray, that's the plan you would go for. You kind of act like an enfeebled old man so you could actually get your hands on their jugular.
Yeah. Well, we're on the subject real quick of awkward Dallas storylines. Why was it that they turned Lucy's character into a walking, talking after-school special? She had their drug problem, the gay friend that she was supposedly going to marry. It was like, it just seemed like one after another for like 2 years, all they did was Lucy after school special stories.
I don't think they knew what to do. I don't think they had any idea what to do with Lucy, and I think Charlene Tilton was popular at the time, so they had to do something. They never figured out how to integrate her into regular storylines.
Yeah, it kind of reeked of like, the network giving them notes on how to use her.
Well, me and Eric were talking about this, and he hasn't popped up, you know, so I don't know if he'll be able to right now. But we were talking, we said it was almost like Lucy had a completely separate show within Dallas.
Yeah, Lucy was Kim Bauer 2 decades before there was a Kim Bauer.
Do you remember the storyline when she was being stalked by this photographer that looked like Jerry Mathers?
Oh, that was just freaky, yeah.
And she had, she saw his stalking shrine, and then she had sex with him. Now, again, I'm not excusing this man's actions because he was a nut bar, but again, that's a big signal.
You're kind of sending the wrong message if you're having sex with the man who stalks you.
And his stalking shrine. And nobody knows this. Lucy is gone for a week, and fucking Pam is the only person that was aware of this problem thought, you know, hey, maybe she's having trouble with that guy stalking her.
That's the other thing, too. How many times did Lucy confide in Pam, only for Pam to eventually crack and tell Bobby?
Every fucking time. And you know, I remember I thought watching these episodes, I thought, why don't I tell JR? JR likes ruining people's lives.
Yeah, JR will kill somebody for you. He has absolutely no scruples.
Yeah, and I mean, it's not like he likes Lucy. I think he did love Lucy early on, and eventually she was such a little snot to him.
Yeah,
that
he just wrote her off.
Yeah, because you can tell early on he would try, you know, and again, it's like this. I remember at one point, it's like, you know, JR's not the one that abandoned you.
And I love how, like, every time she would tell Pam something, and then Pam would tell Bobby, and then when she found out, she did that same pouty Lucy face. The same face that she tried to do on an episode this season, and I was like, oh, God, no, you can't pull that look off anymore.
I don't think you'd pull it off in 89.
No, she really couldn't. By the time she showed up on Married with Children, that ship had long sailed.
Man, she was great. I actually watched that episode because, you know, I'm going through a big marathon for whenever we do a show on it, and she was great in that episode.
I've got places to go and things to do. Oh, please, you would have been here for a piece of cheese on a Ritz cracker.
Yeah, I like how Al walked in. He was like this, Peg, kid, Charlene Tilton.
No big deal.
And at one point, I'm trying to remember what it was. Oh, yeah, he was like this. Al's walking around, and he tells him, because Peg doesn't want to give him his money, he said, well, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to go get a lunch here. I'm going to take my shirt off. I'm going to walk to Bud's College. And I'm going to tell everybody I'm your father. Then I'm going to go down to your diner, and I'm going to take my pants off, and I'm going to tell everybody I'm your father. So he looks at Peg. Then I'm going to go to your beauty salon. Did I mention I'm not going to be wearing any underwear? And then, just for fun, I'm going to go on the freeway, hold up a sign saying, I used an Adominizer for 6 years, and look at me. I assume that Al is a fan of Dallas, just because when he's mentioned the show a few times, he has not mentioned it with derision.
No, not at all. Not at all.
He all seems to be a fan of Gilbert and Sullivan. So there's one season where they just had nothing but jokes about show tunes.
That was season seven when they were talking about they kept implying Al was gay.
Which could not be further from the truth.
I like the one when he told us, no, Peg, I don't think I'm gay. I mean, just because I don't want to have sex with you and touching a man's cap gave me a thrill.
Just watching Al Bundy when I was a kid, I just always imagined, man, I can't wait till I get married because I'm going to reach that point where my wife no longer likes me.
Those catchphrases.
Somebody said, you know, from Mrs. Roper to Pig Bundy, television has crafted a conspiracy the wives want to have sex with their husband.
So, to go off another thing, has Macy seen the picture about the remake of RoboCop, the suit?
I haven't seen it.
Well, I'll just paraphrase what someone says. You haven't played Mass Effect, Victor, I know that, but have you?
What's that?
Have you played Mass Effect?
No.
Well, it kind of looks like the armor from it, the N7 armor from Mass Effect that Christopher Nolan designed it.
Oh, God.
Yeah, it's all black. And, you know, it's all got the little SWAT team stuff on it.
Well, not the whole fan fiction or whatever, but, you know what would make a kick-ass RoboCop sequel?
What?
Do it like that cartoon from 97 and have it take place 200 years in the future. Even further, and now RoboCop's, he's obsolete.
Is he fighting Terminators?
Yeah, honestly, I don't know why they don't get off their ass to do that. God knows it can't be worse than any of the other Terminator movies. Oh, wait, let me take that back, because I said the same thing about Alien versus Predator.
Yeah, you know, as soon as you think the bar has been raised, or as soon as you think the bar is at its lowest, Hollywood always finds another level.
Yeah, but again, honestly,
tell you the truth, the first Alien versus Predator is watchable. I mean, it's not a great movie, but, you know, you can actually kind of watch it if it's on TV. I cannot say the same for Requiem.
Now, I've heard Requiem was better.
I think it depends. I think it depends on whether or not you how you like your schlock. Kind of serious or kind of way over the top.
Neil, in Terminator 3, what was it you said when they showed Sarah Connor's casket and there was nothing but weapons?
Well, can't believe that's what we all look like in the inside. Do I understand what I said when they just wrote off Sarah Connor Vicks and said she just died of cancer?
Yeah.
I was watching Good Friends. I basically started like, bullshit! I'm getting the fuck out of here.
And Neil does not do these things.
Wait a minute. She survives all these Terminator attacks and cancer.
No, it's just terrible writing. It basically means, oh, we can't have her. Can't even have her for a scene. It's like, oh, died of cancer. There we go.
It's kind of like on the Krusty the Clown Show when the IRS takes it over and he looks over and the guy shakes his head no and does the money symbol.
Yep.
And, you know, I'm trying to think if recasting would be better than that.
Well, it's just how it was written.
Yeah, I mean, you could have
said something
more
better. No, it fucking doesn't.
So, you know, I saw Risky Business for the first time the other night.
I saw your post on it, and I laughed my ass off because it's absolutely true.
You know, I was telling Neil, I said, you know, I don't know. I didn't really care for it. Hold on a second. We're about to go into streaming, and I want this goal to be kept completely in form. Before we go into recording. Okay, we're in recording. Okay, I was telling Neil the other day. I said, I don't know, it's like a Saved by the Bell movie with titties and hookers. And I said, wait, maybe this was a good movie. You know, so, because I signed up the other night, because recently I've been, like, way too deep into wrestling, and it's getting to rot the rest of my hard drive and my mind. So I'm trying to watch anything to get it out, because, you know, it's been like almost when I was a kid, and I'd get the fever, and I'd just be consuming everything. Like, I started buying the kids' wrestling figures. And
as long as you're not repainting the figures and making your own figures, then you know you've got a problem.
Yeah, luckily I'm terrible with my hands. No, well, it's one of these things. Okay, I start getting kids' figures, and I go got my figures out of the box, the ones that weren't broken or damaged in hardcore matches. So I had them all set up for the kids. I was like, yeah, look at these right here. Then I'm touching it. It's like a drug. It's like an alcoholic being near alcohol.
I can have one.
I'm getting all sweaty and clammy, and I'm like, okay, hey, look at this Vader WCW figure right here. Which, by the way, you could kill somebody with that if you froze it.
It's like when we bought our house, we were moving our stuff out of our duplex, and I found a box in the garage that had all my old ECW figures, and they were all still in the box. Like, you know, I never opened them or anything, because by the time those came out, I was already, like, in my early 20s. And I look next door, and there's these two little boys playing in the front yard, and I walk over, and I go, hey, you guys like wrestling? They go, yeah, we like wrestling. Hey, do you want these? They, like, look at him. They're like, who are these guys? And the only one they recognized was Sabu. And I knew right then that there was hope for America's youth.
Lance Storm, Chris Candido, Justin Credible,
Rhino.
Yeah,
they didn't even know who Rob Van Dam was.
Who the hell are these guys? Well, you might not remember this. It was a wrestling promotion called ECW. So a lot of them weren't any good. I don't know. Rhino had his moments.
I don't know how the hell they knew who Sabu was and didn't know who RVD was.
It's very strange. It's one of those, I think Sabu's a guy that just really, if a kid sees him once, it sticks in your head.
It's melted in their mind, yep. You can't forget Sabu.
Yeah, that's actually what I was working on. That's why it caused me to be late. I was trying to finish up a Sabu video. I found a cache of unfinished videos from, like, 2006 or 2007. And at the time, I couldn't finish them because I insisted on trying to get use all the footage like a Native American video maker.
Don't let any of it go to waste.
You know, but now I just do like 1 minute so it can be, you know, without eating gristle. You know, so I can actually, you know, so that's what I've been working on because I've got like six of them, you know, pretty good footage.
That's cool.
Anybody that'll be listening to the archive right now, I've got a pretty big announcement about the show if it actually happens. I'm 95% certain it's going to happen, but I've been burned once or twice, so I don't want to say it outright.
Oh, boy, now my interest is peaked.
Yeah, well, you know, I'll just go ahead, and, you know, but I've been talking to Vader on Facebook.
I saw that.
Yeah, and, you know, he's contacted me a few times. You know, so he said he's going to try to do something, and again, I got kind of a guarantee, and again, the fact that I got to talk to the man at all is more than I could ever possibly ask for.
What's he up to these days?
He just kind of does his, I think he just does his indie, he does indie shows and autograph signings. Me and Neil were watching, well, not me and Neil, but me and my buddy William, my Inuit manservant, we were watching the Fist of the North Star live action movie.
That's the one he's in, right?
Yeah, and the thing is, this movie used to be reviled, and then a little movie called Dragon Ball Evolution came back. It came out. It puts everything in perspective. But it is a pretty boring movie. It looks cool, and it captures a look at the series, but the best part is when Vader turns up. Because him and Clint Howard, they are both bursting with life. Clint Howard's riding around a motorcycle sheet. People say, die, bitches! And then Vader bursts in.
Don't ask the kid who played Rufio in Hook.
And he gets murdered.
Again.
It's the same way. It's sad. It's like, I was killed in Hook. Oh, I saw that. You were excellent. But, you know, Vader bursts in wearing the leather gear, and he picks up this little girl in a dog cage, and he says, "You better talk or I'll kill you." And when he's shaking the cage, I want to put a little thing at the bottom, Big Van Vader Daycare.
You leave him, we love him.
Yeah, it's like, you know, there's 95% chance that the child won't survive, but if they do, they're immune to anything else that can hurt them.
Yeah, there will be absolutely nothing in life they can't get past if they can handle that.
Yeah, and then you get to the fight scene, and Vader is really awesome in it, because, you know, Vader's like he's a big dude, but it's also the fact he can actually move around.
Yeah,
so
he's in his prime.
Right, he hits this dude with an ear clap, and he does the short-arm clothesline, and the military presses him through a window. And then he gets his neck broken, a headlock.
Which is just absolute horseshit, because that guy's neck is bigger around than most people's waist.
Yeah, it's one of these things. I think the movie should have ended with Vader killing Kenshiro and Shin and conquering the world.
General Vader.
Yeah, if the movie had an editor, and again, I say this about almost every movie I see now, because for some reason, we're in the era of three-hour action epics, when back in the day, as Sylvester Stallone, you know, is like, we need this thing to be quick and fast. You know, but if this thing had an editor, it'd be a lot better, just because it'd be a lot more fast-paced, even if a lot of the other fight scenes didn't have any energy.
Yeah, it would be kind of cool if there was, like, some alternate universe where Vader, like, somehow played M. Bison in a Street Fighter movie that didn't suck.
Well, you know, the Street Fighter movie had no excuse to suck, because it had Jean-Claude Van Damme. Jean-Claude Van Damme has been in at least three Street Fighter movies that weren't Street Fighter movies.
Right. So, yeah, basically the story of Street Fighter.
Yeah, have you ever seen The Quest?
Oh, a long time ago.
Okay, I saw it on Netflix, and Jean-Claude Van Damme directed it, and I thought it was really good, and the thing to describe it is, imagine if Jean-Claude Van Damme was trying to win an Oscar, but doing it his way.
More explosions. More jump kicks.
I like the fact that even though it was the 1920s, it still had the nosy female reporter.
Who should have existed then?
You know, but again, he did Kickboxer. He did Bloodsport, and somehow this is the one that sucked. And I don't even care if he is playing Guile, because you can explain that if you put some cool fight scenes in it.
Yeah, you got, not only do you have Jean-Claude Van Damme, you had Raul fucking Julia playing M. Bison, a guy who was like, you know, he totally took like that Patrick Stewart role from the first season of Next Generation, where he just takes it on himself to act circles around everybody else.
Yeah, I mean, he really put himself into it. I mean, now, it'd be an issue when it's doing the fight thing, but again, you can do body doubles for that shit.
Right.
But there's this line that he had. It's one of my favorite lines in a movie that I hate. You know, and he was telling Chun-Li, he's like, "Today, Bison came into your village, devastated you. It ruined your life. For Bison, it was really an issue that he..."
the day that Bison went to your quaint little village was the biggest day of your life. To me, it was Tuesday. And speaking of Street Fighter, I saw that episode of Gravity Falls that had, like, the Street Fighter sprite clone that came to help the main character Dipper in a fight. I believe they got the sprite artist who did the Scott Pilgrim game.
I feel bad, because now with the kids here, I feel very snotty toward Disney, because it's like, we're a Cartoon Network family.
Well, this one has some good bits, like, you know, he's trying to give him, quote, food power-ups to help him. He's going through his fridge, well, kind of out of the usual stuff, you know, turkey leg, pizza box, gold ring. Put it on the floor! Okay, just puts on the floor, he just grabs it.
Did you see the episode of Regular Show when Starla met, her parents met Muscle Man?
Oh, I haven't seen that one yet.
Okay, when you see it, it's going to be one of these things. It's like, man, this made it raises a lot of questions about Starla and Muscle Man's relationship.
Actually, no, it explains a lot about Starla and the relationship.
I like the one where Muscle Man meets her parents, Oh, that's the same one? Okay.
Yeah, when she meets her parents at a fancy restaurant, I'm thinking, you know, I don't know, maybe think Starla has daddy issues.
And then I said, my mom, or then I replied, my mom.
Everyone's cracking up, and of course, I think we all saw the World's Greatest Trucker episode about his dad.
Dude, that is the best episode. Because, you know, up until that point, I'd always assumed his dad would just show up, and it would just be a normal, happy episode. But no, his father is dead.
It was one of those things. I like how they did it in such a way, because you can tell Cartoon Network is probably giving him shit about it.
Yeah.
So they had to go bury the ashes of his hat. I like how High Five Ghost can't deal with death, even though he probably must have died at some
fucking
point.
Ghost.
That's the second death. That's when he's dead permanently.
Okay, you know, I think they're probably going, let me see what time it is, because they're probably going to cut our recording off in a few minutes. I want to close with this. Now, people tell you you can't kill somebody because they don't like the same movie as you, but tell that to Gene Siskel's widow.
Too soon.
And that's probably
not soon.
And
it's only been 5 years.
Okay, I've been saving that. I didn't have a good opportunity for it. Mike, thanks for joining us.
Hey, it's good talking to you guys. Have a good night.
All right, man. If you can, try to pop in when we do the Married with Children episode.
Awesome.
All right, man. I'll catch you later. And, Neil, I'll be seeing you sooner than you think.
Boom.